Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Glory, 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 glory. Are you still on fire for Jesus? You got to work at that, you know. You can't just you have to be careful, you dry up. Amen. And some people's dried up on the vine. But we're here to just believe in God to start little fires in you and that this will grow into a great fire, the fire of God, the blessing of the Lord. And God just bring a great revival in this body and in the whole area. Amen. And I don't believe we speak without, you know, some reality when we say that I don't believe that it's anything too big when you consider, 70,000 people or so in this greater area and there's thousands that need Jesus. And I believe that you could, what you need to do first is have a goal that you fill all these seats. Then you start bringing in, I think you could probably get a couple hundred more in here. And then what's the next step is that you go to two services. Is that too far out to extend your faith and begin? But start first to believe God to fill all the seats and then bring in more and have faith, and God will do it as you let him work through you. Amen. I was reading a while ago about in Acts 3, Peter and John were going to the temple the ninth hour to pray about 3 PM and to worship and exalt the name of the Lord. And they met a man that had been lame from his mother's womb. And this man was begging alms, asking for money, had his cup out. And Peter and John said, look on us. And he looked up, the Bible says, expecting something. Have you come tonight expecting something? Amen. We have to come to church expecting. If we expect nothing, guess what you'll get? Nothing. Zero. But he was expecting something, and probably he was expecting some money. But Peter said, silver and gold have we none, but such as I have, I give to you. And he said, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And he took him by the hand. The man went leaping and praising God, went into the temple, running up and down the aisles, and everybody knew that this was that lame man. And that's the kind of God we serve today, amen, in the now, and he wants to bless you and meet your needs tonight. So I believe God's got a special blessing for those of you that came tonight. Some who are not here, about all we can do is send them a sympathy card. Amen. Because we believe God's going to do some wonderful things tonight. Do you believe that? We have to have faith, and we have to expect God to do something. I come expecting. Amen. Praise his name. Well, some have asked Betty to sing her song again. And so she's consented to sing it again, so since we don't know if we'll ever be here again, and she'll bless you again. Some said how they were blessed by it, and some requested she sing it again. So come on, hon, and bless us with a song, and let it inspire us tonight. Okay, both of us will help you up here.
We We've come to Christ, He's a new creation, cleansed and redeemed from the curse of the law. We've put the old man off. We've put the new man on. Now we have access to God our Father through our attorney, Jesus Christ. There's no way we can lose. Put the new man on. Just crucify the flesh and forsake your sin. Put the new man on. Receive liberty and exercise authority, power and dominion, and you can live in constant victory. Put the new man on and live right. Now partakers of His divine nature, hold unto righteousness, peace, and joy. We're adopted sons, joint heirs with Christ, and we are conforming into His image, soon to rule and reign with Him. And we shall do greater works than He did. That's what He said, folks. Put the new man on. Just crucify the flesh and forsake your sin. Put the new man on. Receive liberty and exercise authority, power and dominion, and you can live in constant victory. Put the new man on and live righteously. Put the new man on. Put the new man on. Put the old man on. And put the new man on.
Well, glory to God. The new man is full of faith. Because the new man has Christ and give us the new birth, and we're new creation in Jesus Christ. Amen. Old things pass away, and because all things now become new, and we're new in Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I believe I'm going to be. God's still working in me, even though I'm up there now on the sunset side of life. He's still working in us, conforming us into the image of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans 8 that we're predestined to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, the firstborn among many brethren. And so the Lord wants us to look like Him, act like Him. And that's what Father God's doing in our lives. That's why a lot of the things you go through is because God's working some old stuff out and new stuff in. Amen? Amen. You know, I've ministered in some conventions and several times and some camp meetings and some men's retreats, or well, they call them advances. And I remember a few years ago, one who was in charge. And I say this to just show you how God uses us, even though we may not say anything or do anything. But the leadership said, we want to fly you to such and such convention. You're not scheduled to minister at this convention, but said, we want you to be there. Would you come if we pay your way and expenses and give you an honorarium? And said, I said, well, sure, I don't understand why. I said, well, we just want you there because your presence brings strength, and we sense the power of God in your life, and it brings a blessing in the service. And, of course, usually whenever I did go, would go anywhere, they've told me, said, anytime you want the mic, the Lord gives you a prophetic word, you just take it. But, and so usually every time I would go. I would give a prophetic word. But basically, I was only there because they just felt that the Lord wanted to use me just to bring strength. And you know, you do that in this body. Amen. Your presence brings strength, brings encouragement to pastor. And, you know, pastors need encouragement. Would you believe that? Some people think, oh, all they do is just live in the glory and there's no problems and they just preach Sunday and that's all it is. But you don't know a lot of things that goes on behind the scenes. And so I just trust you, not, as I said this morning, get behind them, get out there in front. He'll let you know what the vision is, and you know the direction you're going. So get out there and run interference against the satanic forces, and do that through prayer, through encouraging them, through supporting them. And in many ways, the Lord will show you ways to get out there and run interference. And if anybody's saying something negative, the best thing to do when you're running interference for the work of God, you just be determined you're going to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. When people begin to put trash in through your, you know, this ear gate, you just stop them and say, listen, we need to pray for Pastor and love him. He's our spiritual leader. God has sent him here. And we're going to get behind him and be a blessing to him. Amen? Can you say a big amen tonight? I want you to stand with me just a moment. And usually Betty goes to the piano and plays this, but it's up a few steps. It'll be hard for her to do this. But I want us to sing a little toe-tapping, hand-clapping chorus. And I don't know if you know it here or not, but it's easy to pick up. Hallelujah, anyhow. We sang that here last, not this past Christmas, but the Christmas before. We had, ever since we started writing this book, we've really had a lot of opposition. Oh, that's us when we started full-time ministry in 1951. On the back. But when we started writing this book, we began to get a lot of opposition from the enemy. He just didn't want this book. And I could tell you several ways he opposed. But we were going to San Diego last year, last Christmas, for Christmas. And on the way, I had my first major accident. Hit some slush, and the car, as we started passing a semi, the car veered over toward the semi, missed the back of it just a little bit, and went down an embankment and went in and spun around, not turned over, spun around about three times, and then ended up, went through a fire wire fence with barbed wire on top, and we ended up in the field, and we sat there. And we looked at one another, and I said, well, I better get out and see what kind of damage was done. Ended up, it was $12,000 cosmetic damage. And but we got a plexiglass put in the back window that had broken out. And we went on then to our destination in San Diego, my brothers, and spent Christmas with them. And so on the way back, we stop at, let's see, what's the name of that town again where Jim lives? Well, anyway, it was in northern Nevada. Huh? Mesquite, yeah, that's it. Mesquite, Nevada. And that's about, 750 miles home for us. So I was going to drive all the way back home, and that was quite a long trip for an older guy. I used to do that standing on my head when I were young. But anyway, we drove home, and we got home. I was expecting just to take in the essentials and drop into bed. Well, we got home and our house was flooded, and hardwood floors, hickory floors, and was raining downstairs. Went in the basement, just really like it was raining, and the floor buckled up, that it lifted the refrigerator clear up off of its wheels as it buckled up, and it was a big mess. And what had happened is the filter on the refrigerator had evidently frozen and burst, and water was pouring out of the refrigerator like a waterfall. And so here we are mopping up, and all this mess. I was exhausted, so was Betty. And I said, well, we've gone around the world and had the people sing Hallelujah anyhow. I said, so we need to start singing it no matter what happens. The devil's a loser. And so we just started singing this little chorus. And of course, we were 2 months tore up and had dehumidifiers, great big ones, about four or five of them running for 24/7 for a month, and fans and to dry things out and all the remodeling I had to do. But $40,000, that was the first, and that was our first claim on the homeowners. So anyway, we just felt the devil's trying to defeat us. So we begin to sing this little chorus. It goes something like this. Hallelujah anyhow. Never, never let your troubles get you down. When life's problems come your way, lift your hands up high and say, Hallelujah anyhow. Come on now. Hallelujah anyhow. Never, never let your troubles get you down. When life's problems come your way, lift your head up high and say, Hallelujah anyhow. Clap your hands, tap your toes. Hallelujah anyhow. Never, never let your troubles get you down. When life's problems come your way, tuck your head up high and say, Hallelujah anyhow. Sing it one more time. Smile. Hallelujah anyhow. You're a winner. Never, never let your troubles get you down. When life's problems come your way, well, lift your head up high and say, Hallelujah anyhow. Well, can you say Hallelujah anyhow? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. How'd they get those words up there like that so fast? Boy, I tell you, they're working miracles around here. Amen. It's exciting to serve Jesus, isn't it? I want you to remain standing one just a little bit more. How many of you have ever said a sledgehammer amen? Anybody? Well, I'm going to teach you how to say one. And I want you to follow me. Very simple. Double up your fist. Put it down like this. Smile. And take a great big deep breath. And say, Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, we got to do that again. Let's do it again. To the glory of God. And smile and believe God that you're going to crush all your problems and difficulties through Jesus Christ. Let's do it again. Come on now, smile, put your hand down, and here we go. Big deep breath. Amen. Hallelujah. Now one more time, and this time I want you to bring that sledgehammer right on the devil's head and give him a flat head. Amen. We have the victory over him. Amen. He's defeated. Praise God. We have power over him. That's what Jesus said. He said, "Behold, I have given you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you." You believe that? That's what Jesus said. So we're going to do it this time. Now, I want you to bring it right. Let's give him an extra strength Excedrin headache. Amen. Bring that hammer down real good. Come on now. Amen. Hallelujah. Shout the victory. We have the victory in Jesus. Praise be to God. Woo. Glory, 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 glory. Amen. Amen. I believe the devil run out of here. I've got to get out of here. Amen. Amen. We need to go on the offensive. Amen. And we have authority over him and power over him in Jesus' name. And we need to realize that. We don't need to, like some I've heard testimony, give testimony. Oh, the devil's been giving me a tussle today. I've been running from him. He's, oh, I'm so wore out. Listen, the Bible says, stand up, submit to God, resist the devil. And he what? He'll what? He'll what? He runs from you. That's what the Bible says. You resist him. Hallelujah. So we're doing that tonight. Amen. God bless you. Turn, just hug somebody real quick and minister to them. You know, sometimes just a hug will minister to people more than we know. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God, we have the victory. Hallelujah. Now, pastors mentioned our book. This is the first time in all of the time that we've traveled since 1975 that we've ever, we've never sold tapes or sold books or anything. The Lord wouldn't let us. Not that that's wrong if others do that. I'm not saying that. It's just what God said to us. But he did tell us to write this book and instructed us very surely. And so we have. And as Pastor said, the book, the publisher says $17.95. The Lord told us not to set any price. Whatever you want to give, whatever the Lord lays on your heart. And if you're one that would go up to the table and say, "I don't have any money, but I'd like a book," and the only thing I ask whoever gives them one, just make sure that they agree to read it. Amen. That they read the book and you take one. But we want it to be a blessing, and we believe it will be. We've had many wonderful reports. Well, bless the Lord, oh my soul. What a joy it's been to be here in Casper area. And we just appreciate so much the spirit of your pastors. We did have a long visit today at the lunch and very good meal. And they've just been beautiful hosts. They've blessed us. And you're really privileged to have pastors like God sent you. Amen? And get, you know, get with them and let them know that you're with them and encourage them every way. God, just ask God how you can encourage your pastor and his family. Their family, their children need blessed and need your understanding and your love. Amen? And so just let God do what he wants to do in this area. And I believe with all my heart that the Lord has started something here in 2012. He started something in this body and in this area. And it's going to build, and the fire is going to get bigger and bigger. It's a little fire now, but hallelujah. Look out, devil, because here comes Faith Assembly in the name of Jesus, and I believe you're going to take this area for Jesus Christ. The Lord spoke to me some time ago that as Jesus was in the Scripture, was looking for his disciples, and he went and chose Peter and John, and he chose them, took the boat, used their boat. He ministered, and afterward, he told them to follow him, and they left all, began to follow him. And you know the story where Peter said, when Jesus told him to launch out into the deep, launch out and cast the net, and you're going to have a great draught of fish. And he said, Master, we've toiled all night. We've worked all night and caught nothing. But you know, at the command of Jesus, he launched that. Nevertheless, he said, at your command, I will. And he launched out, began to fill his boat. It got so full, he had to call his partners. And they not only filled his boat, but filled his partners as well. And that's our God. If he speaks to you, know that he will do what he says he will do. And he's spoken to us in his word and gave his promises. Amen. And so we need to take hold of his promises. But the Lord has spoken to me just at that time when I was looking for the disciples that were going to become apostles, that I were going to use in my ministry and to carry this ministry on. So it is, right now, I'm looking at churches that I want to put my approval upon, people who will be open to me and ready to receive what I want to do through them. And he said, I'm looking, and I am visiting in looking in that way to bless churches. And I believe this is one that he wants to bless and he wants to use in this last day ministry. Greater things are to come, believe me. Oh, there's going to be great turmoil. I see in the spirit fires and devastation, anarchy in the world system and in the United States. But it's going to be a great time for the body of Christ. There's going to be a great, great outpouring of the Spirit of God. And I believe we're going to see miracles, signs, wonders, and healings, and the supernatural like we haven't seen. And we really haven't seen it on the wise we read in the book of Acts. I believe God wants to bring the book of Acts in a greater way in the now. Amen? Do you believe that? So hallelujah. Get ready. Get ready. God's preparing you. That's why you're going through certain things you don't understand, is the Lord is getting you ready for that which he wants to promote you in. And he wants to get this church ready. That's why you're going through things that you don't understand. And you're not interested and you don't want to lose anybody. But yet God is sifting and bringing out those and taking out those that are not going to be part of the foundation and the building that he's building. So he has to make some changes. Amen. And so be ready for that. Don't get discouraged, but keep your eyes on Jesus and know that he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You believe that? That's his word. And so no matter what happens, if there is changes and the Lord moves some out, just believe he'll bring others in that he's wanting to make part of the foundation and work through the things that he's going to do. So get ready. It's going to happen. Amen, amen, amen. If you believe it, say a good amen. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. I'd like for you tonight to turn to the book of Matthew, the 17th chapter. Matthew. And I just want to read a few verses, beginning with the 18th verse. Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to a yonder place, and I'll try to remove it for you." You're reading it not right, is it? He says, "And it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you." I want to talk to you tonight about mustard seed faith. How many has ever seen a mustard seed? Okay, maybe half of you haven't. Can you see that? No, it's so tiny, you probably can't see it. It looked like a little speck. But that's a mustard seed. Tiny, they say, one of the smallest seeds known to mankind. But that's a mustard seed. And Jesus said, if you have that much faith, the faith of a grain a mustard seed, you will ask what you will, and it shall be done, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Do you believe the Word of God? Amen. Now, he's not just saying this to Oral Roberts or to Amy Semple McPherson or to Smith Wigglesworth, but he's saying that to us, the body of Christ, the church. And so keep this in mind. I could probably put that under my little fingernail and hardly know that it's there, this mustard seed. But this, you don't have to be one who you think has great faith, mighty faith. You just have to use the faith that you have, and God will bring it to pass. Can you say amen? It will happen. So have faith as that grain of mustard seed. That's what Jesus is saying. And he's saying this so that we will not think that we have to be men and women who are considered of great faith. Great faith. Now, there are our faith does grow as we walk with the Lord, but we all have at least mustard seed faith. For the Bible says that, and I want to read this with, it says, God, Romans 12 and 3 says, God has dealt to everyone, what? The measure of faith. God has dealt the measure of faith to every one of us. Now, so it's got to be at least what God has dealt to us. Our faith is as at least as the grain of mustard seed. And if it's that much, Jesus said that we can say to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, our problem, whatever the difficulty is, and we have faith, it will be done. Amen. So it's a matter of having faith. This is faith assembly, isn't it? So having faith and believe God, that's what pleases him. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. The Bible says, the just, are you just? You are if you are in Christ Jesus, shall live by faith. Romans 1:17. And Hebrews 6, or rather 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible. Can you say that with me? Impossible. Say it again, impossible. I don't like to talk about the impossible, but it is impossible to please God if we don't have faith. God wants us and is inspired and blessed with our faith that we believe in Him. Now, if you'll study in the New Testament, Jesus over and over and over tried to get them to be in faith, to have faith over and over. I believe, you know, when Mary and Martha had sent for Jesus, Lazarus had died, and Jesus tarried, and he told his disciples when he said, first he said, well, Lazarus is well, he's just sleeping. And then finally they said, well, if he's sleeping, that's do good, do well, we just sleep with him. And no, finally he told him plainly, Lazarus is dead. But he knew what he was going to do. He was going to go raise Lazarus from the dead. So he waited until he was many days dead. And when he got there, Mary and Martha said, Master, if you'd have been here, our brother wouldn't have died. He said, I am the resurrection. In other words, have faith in me. And he already knew what he was going to do. Now, some say, because it says here, reported here, when Jesus wept, they said, he's weeping because he's sorrowful with Mary and Martha because Lazarus is dead. But you know, common sense tells you, why would he weep if way back before he waited and tarried, he knew that it was God's will that he die and that he was to raise Lazarus from the dead where he was dead with no possibility of him just swooning and just be passed out for a while. And so he waited, and Mary and Martha, when he told him, he said, I am the resurrection. He wanted them to believe. So I really don't believe. Why would he cry over something when he knew already he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead? I don't think he was weeping because he was dead. He was weeping because of their unbelief. They weren't believing in him. If you study carefully, Jesus kept trying over and over to get them to believe, to have faith. And he was more excited sometimes for those who were outside and were considered dogs. They had more faith. This woman who has come to me, and she's asked for the crumbs that fall from the table. The dogs don't deserve this, but her faith excited Jesus. And he gets excited when we will exercise faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. Do you believe? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You think about this yourself and consider, why would Jesus weep over the death of Lazarus when he knew all the time he's going to raise him from the dead? And he told the disciples, we're going to go and raise him out of his sleep and raise him from the dead. He already knew that. And he tried to get Mary and Martha to believe that he was a resurrection and that he was going to raise him from the dead. He didn't have to wait for the day of resurrection, but he was going to raise him if you just have faith. Amen. So I believe the Lord is trying to get us to have faith today, to believe him, because nothing, the Bible says, nothing is impossible to him that believes. Now, is the Word of God true? You know, there's been many times I've quoted the Word of God. I said, and when I've needed healing, I've said, Lord, you said in your word, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. You said, ask anything in my name, and it shall be done. And you said, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You said, anoint with oil, and the prayer of faith shall raise them up, and they will recover. And Lord, your word is full of the promises. You said, by your stripes we were healed. And Lord, I remind you, this is what you said. Now I stand on your word. I believe it. I expect it to happen because you said it, and you're not a man that would lie. And so I stand in faith on your word, believing what you said. And you've said many other things about it, and I believe it and I receive it. And you know, just actually today, there's a certain problem in my body since I had the problem September 13th, that there have been manifestation of the healing. I said, I kept saying, God, I thank you. And when I prayed the prayer, then afterwards I start thanking you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You promised to heal me. It hasn't manifest yet, but I'm believing any day it will manifest. I will see it done because you're God. And you said nothing is impossible to him that believe. I believe that you do it. You know, we just got to believe it. We can't give up. The few times that we pray, sometimes we have an instantaneous answer to prayer. I've had that. But most of the time, there's a spiritual warfare, and the devil tries to bring doubt, fear, unbelief, and make us step back, but because the devil don't want us to have faith in God. But we hold God to his word. Amen? Can we do that? Have you ever done that? I challenge you to do that. Hold him to his word. Amen. And Pastor, just hold him to his word. You said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. Believe God no matter what's happening. And if people are leaving when you're believing God building the church, well, you know, he probably is behind some of that. And he's wanting to bring a new foundation, and those who are really going to believe and go forward, so that when the structure of the church gets bigger and the spiritual body is bigger, that some in the foundation don't crumble and disturb many others. So just know that God is working. Believe what he said in his word and stand on it. Amen. And God will do it, I assure you. He cannot fail. Glory be to God. Faith without works, the Bible says in James 2:17, is dead because it's alone. Faith that has no works, not put into action, is dead, the Bible says. And nothing will happen with a dead faith. Amen? You've got to do what you can do, believe God, and go forward, knowing that God will do it, and stand on his word. Hallelujah. I've seen it over and over down through the years. Impossible situations. And I've still got some impossible situations that I've been praying for many, many years. I pray for two brothers that once walked with the Lord, and they're softening some, and where before they didn't want God mentioned, and God's softening them, and I believe that they're going to have a complete turnaround. I'm believing it, trusting in God, even though I don't see it happen immediately. We have a daughter that once followed the Lord, loved him, ministered in song, and even traveled with the Southern California College for the group that went out to represent the college and to get people to come to the school. And today, she had married an alcoholic, and he's kept her doped up, and she's just not walking with the Lord. But I don't believe what I see. I believe that it is done, and she's restored. And I believe any time that in the pig pen, like the prodigal son, she's going to come to herself. What am I doing in this pig pen? And God's going to turn her around. Amen. We have to keep believing that way. You may have some situations like that. And I share this because many times, you know, those that get up before you, they just tell you all the positive stuff and don't tell you and truthful with some of the stuff they go through to get the answers of prayer. And it's not just wham, bang, boom, it happens. But it's a spiritual warfare. And I'll tell you, God wants to do it. He wants to do it. He's anxious to do it. But you got to give him faith. Amen. And then he'll move out. And you'll see God bring it to pass. You know that I was looking and found in the Old Testament, I could only find two times in the Old Testament that faith was mentioned. The word faith was mentioned only two times. But in the New Testament, I found that over 250 times the word faith is mentioned. I'm not talking about also other words that pertain to faith. But God in this day wants us to walk by faith and have faith in him and believe that he'll do it. And you have to do it. You can't let the opposition and the hindrances, you may think of many hindrances that keep you from getting and receiving from the Lord what you need, whether it's financial assistance, whether it's physical healing, a miracle in your family, a change, but you just got to keep believing God and not give up in your faith. Amen. I know what I'm talking about because I've been so close to absolute total disaster, and the Lord has come in the last minute. Oh, wow. Wow, God, you did it. Amen. And how exciting it is to see God work on your behalf. And he wants to, but you know, you got to exercise faith. Abraham had to exercise faith. He went out by faith, seeking a city whose builder and foundation were built by God. And he went by faith, leaving his family, and coming out of idolatry, God called him out. And he walked by faith. And you know the story. Of course, we talk about faithful Abraham and Father Abraham. But so many times he had been promised of the Lord that he was going to be a father of many nations. How could this be? He and Sarah could not even have a baby. Of course, you know, when they tried to help God out. Have you ever tried to help God out? Now, I believe we do what we can do in the natural, but this was far out of line when Sarah suggested that Abraham go into Hagar, and, of course, you know what happened there, that Ishmael was born. And we find the Ishmaelites still today are a great problem, great nation. God said he'd make a great nation of them. And we have a lot of problem with them, the children after the flesh. But God said, no, I'm going to give you a child of the Spirit. And so he gave in their old age. Sarah was about 90 and Abraham was about 100. And here comes pregnant Sarah and at 90 years of age. And she's going to have a baby. They have a baby and called him Isaac. And God had brought to pass his promise and gave him a son. And he was going to be the father of many nations. How could all this happen? But then the time came that God told him to go to Mount Moriah, offer Isaac as a sacrifice. Not just a sacrifice, but a burnt offering. Burn him up. Turn him to ashes. And, you know, he could have a little more faith if he just killed him, but he was to burn him up and lay him on the altar and there give him totally unto the Lord. That which God had given him. Sometimes God asks us to give back what and wants us to let go of what he gives us. And so, you know the story. Abraham went out Mount Moriah. And when they was at the foot of Mount Moriah, Isaac said, Dad, we got the wood and the fire. Where's the sacrifice? He said, Son, God will provide a sacrifice. He was speaking in faith. He didn't know how it would happen, how it would come forth, but he was still in faith. We've got to continue in faith no matter how it looks. Amen? We've got to stay in faith. No matter what the devil does here, he's defeated. You just got to stay in faith, believing Jesus. Keep your eyes on him and keep marching forward. Amen. And I just exhort your pastors and leadership here to do that very thing. God has given you vision, spoken to you. Know he'll bring it to pass. And know that he's called you. And know whether what the opposition, if you trust in the Lord, he will surely do it. Amen. And so as they started up one side of Mount Moriah, hallelujah, I just see there the eye of faith God had on the other side of the mountain. He couldn't see it, but God had a ram coming up, and God was providing. He didn't know it. He didn't see it, but by faith, he believed it. And so he got on Mount Moriah, bound his son, and put him on the altar, and was going just getting ready to slay him, bring the knife down across his throat to offer him to the Lord and then burn him. And the angel of the Lord stopped him, said, don't do it. Now the Lord knows that you will obey him totally. Sometimes the Lord wants to see if we really obey and keep believing and having faith no matter what we face. Amen? And then he lifted up his eyes, and there caught in the thicket was the ram the Lord provided. Abraham said to Isaac, the Lord will provide a sacrifice. Amen. He had faith and believed in God. He didn't know how. This is not just, you know, we just look at it as a story. But this was real life. And God put him to the test. And you know, it was after this that God blessed him and made him then the father of many nations. And he became the father, we call him Father Abraham. And God blessed him because of his faith. Faith moves the hand of God. Amen. Just our crying, our moaning, our groaning, our complaining doesn't do it. But faith in God will move the hand of God. Can you say amen to that? Praise God. I want to encourage you to move out in faith. And whatever needs you have tonight, God is able to meet that need. You just got to have faith. That's what the Bible says. I can't tell you anything else. Mainly, it's believing God. Have your heart right. Don't have bitterness in your heart. And forgive others. These are some of the things that can hinder But basically, we have to move out in faith and trust God to bring it to pass. A few years ago, it was actually 1999, the first Sunday of February. I was in church. When we was coming out of church, I felt very strange. And my wife and my daughter, Cindy, noticed I wasn't just quite right. And they said, "Dad, are you all right?" Cindy said. I said, "Well, yeah, I'll be okay." And they asked me, kept asking me, "What's the matter?" I didn't want to say, but I felt that I was beginning to have a stroke. And I didn't want to confess it. I said, "I'll be okay." I went out in the parking lot, and I stopped. I couldn't go any further. And they began to pray for me. And I got better. Some of the people of the church began to gather around, pray for me. And we went on to lunch. And when I'm about to sign the check and for the credit card, they all noticed it was just chicken scratch. I couldn't sign my name. And my wife and my daughter said, "Dad, you need to go to the hospital, see what's going on." And I hesitated. We went on home. And I'd say around 4:30, things kept getting worse. And my wife wanted to call 911. I said, "Oh, I don't want all the neighbors to get stirred up and just to drive me down to the hospital," which was about 25 miles away from where we lived. And so we got to the hospital, and immediately they discerned I was having a stroke. And so they got all around me, began to try to administer help to me. And make a long story short, I seemed to be, not getting where my speech was a little slurred, and everything was working. And so about 10 o'clock that night, my brother was there also, who is a Christian, Lee. And so they were all talking, and my daughter said, "Dad, do you want Pastor?" Where she was on staff. She led worship there and was just done whatever else in ministry needed to be done. She said, "The pastor said he'll come and anoint you with oil." I said, "Well, we've done everything else. Let's do that. Fulfill the scripture. And if he wants to come," he said, "he'll be here in about 30 minutes. And so he showed up, and we were just talking, and things seemed to be all right. And he talked for a little bit, and he said, "Well, now we need to anoint you with oil." And he reached in his pocket, and he said, "Oh, I forgot my oil." He said, "Cindy," said, "would you see if any of the nurses have some oil that I could use?" And so one of the nurses was doing everything she could to find some oil. And finally, she said, "I can't find any oil, but here's some KY jelly. Maybe this will work." And so they tore open the KY jelly, anointed me with KY jelly, prayed for me. And then shortly, not too long after that, they left. And I just believed the next morning I would be set free and they would let me go home. And but during the night after they left, I began to get... I told the nurses when they'd check on me, I said, they asked me if anything was happening. I said, "Well, I'm having a little tingling in my hand and in my arm, my right arm, just a little tingling." And so they come back like 20 minutes later and they ask, and I said, "Well, I'm getting just a little bit of twitching now, and tingling is still there and twitching." And 20, 30 minutes back again, said, and I said, "I still have the tingling, the twitching, and now I'm getting a jerking." So she called the doctor. The doctor that said, we'll take him back up and give him a CAT scan and see if there is bleeding in the brain or so forth. So they did, and they took me in, and really they was wheeling me back, and I passed out from the stroke, lost consciousness. And so I guess I was unconscious all night. The next morning, when I awakened, I noticed I could not move anything on my right side. I was totally paralyzed on the right side. I couldn't twitch a finger, and my hands wouldn't work. Everything was dead. My speech was terribly slurred. And wow. And God, what's going on? So I began to pray. And I said, God, you know, I can't continue ministry this way. I can't drive the motor home. I can't. What's going on? I didn't think you were through with me yet. And I just talked to the Lord, you know, very plainly. And some people say you can't talk anything but just say, I am healed. But I just said, God, you're my friend and you're my Lord, my Savior. What's going on? I just talked to him like I talked to you, and I think we can do that. He loves us, and he's our Heavenly Father. He's our elder brother. He's our healer. Amen. We can just talk to him. And so I said, Lord, I don't understand. And I talked to him for a little while, and I said, God, you got to do something. This is confusing to me because I really didn't. I tell him over and over, I didn't think you were through with me yet. And after I'm praying for a little while, I don't know how long it was, the Lord spoke to me. He said, the devil meant this for evil. I'm going to turn it for good. I'm going to raise you up and restore you. And you're going to keep preaching the gospel. You'll keep driving that motor home. And you just got to believe my word. And so it kind of startled me because now I had begun to shift gears just before that. And I said, well, Lord, maybe you are ready for me. And I began to get excited about going to heaven. And I'm going to see my Lord. You know, that's where we're headed. Amen. And so I thought, well, I'm going to see Jesus pretty soon. Well, then the Lord dropped that on me. So I had to switch gears. It kind of shook me up. And I had to not get excited about going to heaven, but now I had to stay in the nasty now, not in the sweet by and by. So I said, okay, Lord, if you're going to heal me, then I'm going to get up out of this bed and walk. And I was really expecting like what happened here in Acts 3. I was expecting I was just going to jump out of that bed, and I go running around, healed and jumping and leaping. I told the Lord I'd do that. And anyway, I began to holler at nurse and go by. I said, nurse. I couldn't speak too plain. I said, I want you to take your rails down on this bed. I'm going to get up and walk. And they said, Mr. Skinner, you can't walk. You're totally paralyzed on the right side. And you've had a massive stroke. You can't walk. I said, yes, the Lord's going to help me. And I would argue with them that way. And then finally, they just walk away. And this happened 3 times. And they just walk away, I guess thinking, oh, boy, this has got his intellect. He just doesn't understand how serious this is. So my wife got there, and I said, honey, I said, and then called her and told her that I had a massive stroke and that I was totally paralyzed on the right side, and they described it all to her. And when she got there, I was asking God, would you give me just a little sign? Could I have a little twitch in my finger at least? Because everything was dead. It's a strange feeling. I was half dead. The whole right side was dead. And so I would think I was moving my fingers. I think I was moving my toes. I said, God, just give me just a little sign that will help my faith. And nothing happened. Betty got there. I said, honey, I said, would you? I've been trying to get the nurses to put these rails down in the bed. I want to walk. But first, would you look and see if my toes are twitching? I knew my fingers, nothing would happen there. I said, would you see if I'm moving my toes? And in my mind, I'm thinking I'm wiggling my toes. And she looked. She said, no. I said, you sure? And she said, no. I said, God, I want just a little sign. And I said, get a little closer and look. And I said, you sure? No, nothing's moving. And so I said, well, and I told her I want to get up and walk. And they just walk away from me. So she was reluctantly went and got a therapist, talked to her, said, my husband insists that he's going to get up and walk. He said, he can't walk. He's had a massive stroke, and he's totally paralyzed on the right side. There's no way. I said, well, he insists, and you got to come and talk to him. So she came, tried to talk me out of it, said, no, put these rails down the bed. I'm going to get up. God's going to help me. I'm going to walk. And she had the same report over and over. You cannot, and kept trying to discourage me. And I said, yes, I am going to walk in the name of Jesus. And so she set me up. And I guess she's wanting to discourage me because, I mean, everything was going like that. And she said, you sure you want to get up and walk? I said, yes. So she laid me back down. She went and got belt put around me and all the paraphernalia. And she got me out of bed reluctantly. And I walked from the head of the bed to the in a semicircle to the foot of the bed, such as it was. It was more like this, you know, with her holding on to me. But I was, the thing I want to impress upon you, I was wanting my faith to have works. God said he was going to heal me. And I wanted, you know, I wanted just to bang and just be done. And I could jump up and do it, but he didn't choose to do it that way. And so I did that three times that day. The next day, Betty went and got her. And the same story. She reluctantly helped me. And I said, now I'm going to walk to the door and back today. And such as it was, I walked to the door, from my bed to the door and back. Done that four times that day. The next day, when Betty came, she got this therapist again. And so when she come in, I said, now today, I'm not going to just walk to the door, but I'm going across the hall to the nurse's station. And she, well, whatever you say, this is exciting. I haven't seen anything like this. Oh, I'm excited about what's happening. And she got all excited about it and told my wife and my daughter, said they're going to move him over to Cabrillo Hospital. That's where they put all the old people just to vegetate. And said, I don't want him to go there. Something is happening. I'm getting excited. What's happening in him? And try to get your doctor to keep him here. I want to work with him. And so they tried everything, but the insurance said, no, he's got to go to Cabrillo. And so the next day they moved me to Cabrillo Hospital. And when I got in there, they tried to subdue me. And I said, no, I'm going to walk. And I went through the same thing and finally convinced them. And so more and more I began to gain strength. And as a few days went by, God was healing me, and they were amazed. And one time, nurses came in and said, oh, you know what's happening here? I said, no, what's going on? Said, oh, we're all fighting over you. Said, we all want a piece of the action. You make us look good. And said, we want a piece of the action. And I said, well, God's doing this. And more, God was healing me. And I was getting better. It came the time when they had somebody come. As God was healing me, this foot would hang down like this. I couldn't bring it up. It would hang down. And so they got somebody to come in. Two men came, and they talked to me and said they want us to make you a brace. And so we need to put plaster Paris around and make a mold, and then we'll make this plastic brace for you so that you can walk easier. And so when they left, I started praying. And I said, God, in Jesus' name, I heal this leg, this foot, in Jesus' name. I believe I'm healed. Your word says it, and you told me, Lord, you were going to raise me up and heal me. I expect it to happen. And anyway, a couple days, they came back. And they came back, and they brought a brace. They showed me this brace that I have. And they said, oh, doesn't it look nice? And said, this will help you to keep your foot up now, and where you'll be able to walk, and it won't drag down. And they kept talking that way, and I was sitting on the edge of the bed, and they were sitting in the two chairs, sitting there, and they said, well, and they asked, wanted my approval that it looked good and so forth. I said, yeah. And so they said, we need to try it on now, see if it fits. And I stood up. I said, well, I said, you fellas are too late. The Lord's already taken care of that. And I started walking around. I said, I don't need this. I don't need that. God's already taken care of that. And I said, I don't need that. Amen. And I've never wore it. Amen. Hallelujah. And God has just restored me to the amazement of doctors and therapists and everyone that knew anything about me. And when the day came, I think it was 16 days, I was released then from the hospital. And I was walking around room to room, ministering to people, and leading them to the Lord and getting to believe in faith. One lady, they had a general assembly room, this one lady in a wheelchair, and she was telling me, well, I said, well, the reason I'm here is because I tried to take my life. There's no use of me living. He said, but when I get out of here, I'll succeed because I'm going to get Dr. Kevorkian to help me. And I said, you don't need to do that. Oh, yes. There's no use of me to live. And I talked to her. I said, Jesus loves you, and Jesus will heal you and restore you, and I rebuke this oppression, this depression, and this demonic thing on you, and be loosed and be set free. And I prayed this way, you know. And the next day she showed up. She was all dolled up, princed up, makeup, and combed hair, and she was a changed woman. Amen. Well, she heard I was going to be released, and she said, oh, would you come to my room? I'm on the next floor up. Before you go, I want to see you before you go. It said, you just blessed me, and my whole life has changed. And so I said, yeah, I'm supposed to leave. I think it was tomorrow. And I said, God's really helped me, blessed me, and restored me. And you know what? How bad I was when I came here. And I said, he's going to continue to do it for you. You keep believing God. And so they come to take me. My wife and my daughter came to take me home. And so they brought the wheelchair, and they said, you have to get in a wheelchair. I said, no, I'm not getting in a wheelchair. I came in a wheelchair. I'm walking out. And they said, oh, it's regulations. You have to get in the wheelchair. I said, no, I'm not going to get in the wheelchair, because I knew this was a spiritual battle for me, and not to submit again to that. And I said, I'm walking out of here. And so he finally got a hold of those that's higher up in the hospital. And he said, he come back and said, whoa, he said, that's Reverend Skinner, Howard Skinner. Yeah, go ahead. Let him walk out. Just walk out with him and see that he gets his car all right. And they all knew me around there because I was witnessing, especially on that floor, and testifying to the Lord. And so I walked out of the hospital. Hallelujah. We got in the car, and my daughter was driving. Ben was in the back seat. I was in the passenger side. I said, why don't you take me over to the other hospital where I was admitted? And they both said, well, what do you want to go there for? I said, I want to go up there on the fourth floor. I want to show them what Jesus has done. And my wife said, honey, you don't want to overdo. I said, no, I'm going to the fourth floor. I'm going to show them what Jesus has done. So walked in on the fourth floor, and I saw a doctor, and I said, remember me? And he was in that room over there. And I said, well, I just want to show you what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. And I said, he's restored me. He just kind of looked at me, hallelujah. But shake my hand, Pastor. Is that a pretty good handshake for one anymore? One anymore? for almost 83 and having a stroke, hallelujah, I give all the glory to God. But we just have to believe God, faith in God. Amen. You have to exercise faith. Amen. I told you today there's a certain problem I've had in my body since September 13th. And today, I've been standing just on his word. God didn't tell me, yes, I'm going to heal you. I'm going to do this. That's wonderful if he does. But I just begin to stand on his word, his written word. Said, you said, I am the Lord, God that healeth thee. You said, ask anything in my name and that you would do it. You said, ask anything in my name and the Father will do it. And you said in your word, that by your stripes we were healed. It's a done deal. And I quoted other scriptures. I said, Lord, I remind you, this is your word. You're not a man that should lie. Now I expect you to fulfill your word. Amen. And, I have some things that haven't manifest yet. There's been prayer for years. But I'm keeping in faith about it. Amen? And that's what God wants us to do. Stay in faith. Don't give up. Keep believing. Hallelujah. The devil is defeated. Amen. Sometimes I'm ministering somewhere, and I'm ministering totally on something, and I'll say, oh, wait a minute. I feel a spell coming on. And I said, oh, look here, devil, what Jesus did. Amen. Eat your heart out. Hallelujah. And then I tell him just a little bit. I had a stroke and was totally paralyzed, massive stroke, and the Lord has restored me. Praise God. I can even run a little bit. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so I just felt like the Lord wanted me to share this with you. I glorify him as Jesus had done it. Amen. And I wouldn't consider myself a man of great faith. I use my mustard seed faith. I've got at least that. I believe it's increased a little through the years. But you have at least mustard seed faith.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.